ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. It's Monday, the 9th of February. I'm Isabella Higgins, coming to you from Gadigal Land in Sydney. The Coalition has reunited after a messy 17-day split, their second in less than a year. Both the Liberal and Nationals leaders are keen to put the affair behind them and say they want to focus on the future. But a new poll shows support for the Coalition has plunged to 18%, with One Nation at 27%, casting further doubts on Susan Lee's leadership. Political reporter Lexi Junawick has more.
What a difference a weekend makes. After a last-minute deal, the Coalition has reunited for the second time in less than a year.
The Liberals and Nationals are back in Coalition, acting in the national interest to hold this awful Albanese Labor government to account.
Opposition leader Susan Lee standing side by side with Nationals leader David Littleproud on Sunday, both agreeing the focus is now firmly on the future.
We've got to make sure we can say to the Australian people we've got a way forward. And that's the maturity and leadership that I thank Susan for, that we've been able to say. We've got to find a better way forward. We put in these processes that everyone is heard, that we get that opportunity, because when we are together, we get a better outcome.
Under the deal, which will be codified in writing, the Coalition will operate under a new framework preventing either party from overriding a decision of shadow cabinet. The opposition leader has wound back her six-month suspension for the three Nationals senators dropped from the frontbench after they voted against the government's hate speech bill, with all the shadow cabinet members who lost their jobs in the split to be reinstated from March.
People who come here are passionate about a range of different things, and that passion gets expressed. And I understand that. We all understand that. The point is that today, after strengthening these processes and resolving our differences, we are firmly focused on the future.
At the arrivals terminal of Canberra Airport, ahead of Parliament resuming today, Liberal Senator James McGrath was happy the band is back together.
I think it's a good thing. I'm really happy we can focus on the government, stop talking about ourselves.
Senator McGrath also confident about the future of Susan Lee's leadership, despite ongoing rumblings a leadership challenge from Angus Taylor is on the cards.
I think the fact that Susan's been able to bring it back together again is a good thing.
Colin Boyce, the Nationals MP who unsuccessfully challenged David Littleproud's leadership last week, not so sure the new deal spells the end of the chaos.
Ah, well, that's going to be interesting, isn't it? Rinse and repeat.
So you're confident that this won't be the end of it?
I'm quite sure it won't.
Treasurer Jim Chalmers on the same page.
The right of politics in Australia is now a three-ring circus of petty, personal and internal rivalries. And I think anyone who thinks that this is the end of it is kidding themselves.
Outside of the Canberra bubble, pollster and director at Redbridge Group, Cos Samaras, believes it will take time to see what impact the on-again, off-again, on-again relationship between the Liberals and Nationals will have on voter sentiment.
Look, I think although the mechanics of them sorting out a deal and getting back together again will at least allow them to be unified as a team, their overall problem is actually with a part of the conservative working class base that has given up on them as a political alternative to government.
Former Labor strategist Cos Samaras ending that report from Lexi Junawick. And for more on this, Jonathan Dunningham, Liberal frontbencher and Shadow Home Affairs Minister. Jonathan Dunningham, good morning and thanks for your time on AM.
Thanks for having me, Isabella.
The Coalition is back together after a weeks-long split, but is Susan Lee here to stay as Liberal leader?
Well, it is good we are back together and frankly, we have a job to get on with. We've been distracted, one can only say, and we need to get on with the job of holding the government to account, but starting to advance our own policy agenda. That's what we need to start doing now and frankly, the last few weeks have been nothing short of an indictment and we need to focus on our job, get on with it and make that our 100% aim over the next period of time to actually win back the trust of voters across this country.
Look, it is hard to focus on policy when there is such furious speculation about a leader's future. The latest news poll puts support for the Coalition at 18%, One Nation at 27%. Can you expect that to change under Susan Lee?
Well, it has to change. We have to make it change. We have to get on with the job. And as part of the senior leadership in our Federal Liberal team, I share responsibility for, of course, how things are going. But this is not just at the feet of one person or a couple of people. This is a team result that we need to own and rectify. So to that end, it is, as I said before, about focusing on the job at hand, and that is presenting an alternative vision for our country, an alternative agenda, solutions to the problems people are facing, and actually going out and talking about that rather than about ourselves, as we seem to do in this bubble that is Canberra.
I mean, you were seen meeting with your colleagues, discussing potential leadership challenges. Can we really believe Susan Lee now has your full support?
Well, as I said, in relation to that delightful breakfast in Melbourne a week or so ago, I did something that any Australian would do, and that is when a friend asks you to be with them as part of a decision-making process, and that was Andrew Hastie, I went with him on that journey. He made a decision, and like me, he's focused on actually doing the job that we need to deal with this woeful government that is, you know, frankly, getting away with ridiculous amounts of government spending, which is driving inflation, which is pushing up interest rates. For example, one thing that went unnoticed last week. So they're the things we need to be focusing on, reminding people of why this government is not the one for this country and how we need to turn this country around.
But do you think Andrew Hastie would be competitive at challenging One Nation and that support they seem to be gathering?
Well, Andrew's made a decision about what he wants to do with our party right now, and I support him in doing that. What we as a Liberal team need to do, and again, as I say what I mentioned before, and that is this isn't about one person, one personality and one view. This is about our party, a great party of this nation in partnership with the Nationals, our coalition partners, and thank God they're back, to now do our job, focus on the need for there to be an alternative for what people have in this country, get out, sell it, and make sure people know what's on offer. And that's what we haven't been doing, and that's what we need to be doing.
And do you think maybe Angus Taylor is a better person to sell that to the Australian public?
Well, again, this is a team effort. And can I say, Angus, as part of Susan's leadership team, as one of our shadow ministers, he needs to, along with me and others, do what we haven't been doing over the last few weeks. Get out and do our job. Understand the problems this country's facing, come up with solutions and tell people how they'll be better off under our agenda. It's a pretty straightforward proposition, and I'm looking forward to getting on with it, because if we can't do that, then there are real problems.
Look, there's a lot of reporting that there could be a spill motion planned for as early as this week.
Oh, look, and again, reporting will occur like this over periods of time where our party is, frankly, and I'm not going to look at the polls and pretend they're not an issue. They tell me we've got a job to do, always, without fail, every point in the electoral cycle where a party is in the doldrums when it comes to the polls, there is always going to be this level of speculation. Again, we can't be distracted by that. We need to do what it is that is required, and that is get on with the job of offering an agenda Australians can get into and support and want for their country.
So you're confident in a month's time that Susan Lee will still be the leader of your party?
If we're doing our jobs properly, then the polls will turn around and we can get on with what it is we were elected to do, and that is work on behalf of the people of Australia, not worry about ourselves. So that's what I'm saying to myself, my colleagues, my entire team that I work with here in Canberra and across the country. We've got that one job ahead of us, and that's what we should be focused on.
I mean, but can you really expect things to turn around, to drive up support if nothing changes in that leadership team?
Well, look, again, my focus is on my patch that I have responsibility for in the Home Affairs portfolio. There are things we will be doing related to immigration policy, related to border security, related to the response to Bondi and the implementation of those laws that passed just a week or two back now. If we actually get on and do our jobs properly, then, of course, we will win back the trust of the Australian people. There are always going to be distractions. There are always going to be elements of commentary around various parts of what we as a team offer, including our leadership. But if we're distracted by that, then we deserve the result we get. If not, we get on, do the job Australians want, and they will hopefully reward us with the vote at the next election.
Tasmanian Senator and Shadow Minister for Home Affairs, Jonathan Dunningham, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Isabella.
The Israeli president is arriving in Sydney today to meet with bereaved families and members of the Jewish community. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, invited Isaac Herzog to Australia after the Bondi terror attack in December, saying it would bring a sense of unity. But the trip has also attracted controversy, security concerns and protest. Tanya Dendrinos reports.
It was a gesture designed to unify. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese extended an invitation to the Israeli president after the anti-Semitic attack that killed 15 people at Bondi Beach on the 14th of December. Today, he arrives in Sydney. Alex Rivchin is the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry.
For the victim families and for the survivors, it means a great deal. It shows that we're not alone.
While the visit carries great significance for members of the Jewish community, it's been met with anger from other groups, with some calling for the arrest of Isaac Herzog. In September, a UN Commission of Inquiry concluded Mr. Herzog was among Israeli leaders who incited the commission of genocide in Gaza, an allegation Israel has strongly rejected, with the Israeli president having said his comments were taken out of context.
It just shows the low ebb to which our public discourse has fallen. When you have a president defending his country in the wake of the October 7 atrocities, he's then accused of inciting a genocide.
The Australian Federal Police has said there's no active investigation into Mr. Herzog and that he has full immunity as a head of state. Marches will be held nationwide this afternoon protesting the visit. In Sydney, demonstrators are due to gather at Town Hall, but public assembly restrictions introduced in the wake of the Bondi terror attack remain in place. The Palestine Action Group, which has organised the Sydney rally, is still negotiating with New South Wales Police for its proposed march. The group's spokesperson is Josh Lees.
What we're calling for is the police to amend the protest restrictions to facilitate a march to New South Wales Parliament. We are absolutely not seeking confrontation with police. We're seeking a mass peaceful protest.
New South Wales Police Acting Assistant Commissioner Paul Dunstan says there are other locations for protesters to have their say.
We would love the group to relocate to Hyde Park so they can travel to Belmore Park to safely facilitate a peaceful protest on the streets of Sydney. I do have concerns about the size of Town Hall, the possibility of overflow into public areas, which could lead to conflict between police and protesters.
The state government has declared the president's visit a major event, which it says grants police additional powers to manage crowd safety and reduce the risk of confrontation. It's the first time such a declaration has been used for the visit of a foreign dignitary. Josh Lees labelled the major event declaration draconian, with the Palestine Action Group launching a legal challenge against it in the New South Wales Supreme Court late yesterday.
This is a huge attack on our basic rights as people and, of course, our rights to protest in the Sydney CBD.
Josh Lees from the Palestine Action Group Sydney, ending that report by Tanya Dendrinos. Brenton Tarrant was jailed in 2020 to life without parole over attacks on two Christchurch mosques where 51 people died. The Australian pleaded guilty to the charges of murder and terrorism, and the case seemed clear-cut. Now he's seeking to vacate his guilty pleas and appeal against his sentence. Barbara Miller reports from Wellington.
7 years after the death of her beloved big brother, Aya Alomari says she's moving forward on what she calls her healing journey.
We're doing as good as we can be doing.
35-year-old Hussein Alomari was among 51 people shot dead at two Christchurch mosques in March 2019. Australian Brenton Harrison Tarrant live-streamed the attack minutes after sending out a manifesto.
This is one of New Zealand's darkest days.
Hussein Alomari was later recognised with the Bravery Star for drawing the gunman's attention away from others trying to flee.
Hussein has always been the hero that I know, and I'm very, very proud of him.
In March 2020, in a surprise move...
Yes, guilty.
The gunman pleaded guilty to charges of murder, attempted murder and terrorism. A royal commission later concluded he was driven by an extreme right-wing Islamophobic ideology. But now the 35-year-old is seeking to vacate his guilty pleas and seeking leave to appeal. Tarrant is expected to tell a hearing beginning this morning at the Court of Appeal in Wellington that the harsh conditions of his confinement meant he wasn't capable of making rational decisions when he entered his guilty pleas. The application was filed well after the deadline. James Rapley, QC, is a Christchurch barrister.
It's a very high bar. It's a very high bar because there needs to be some finality with proceedings. So this is very difficult for the victims, for the family, for this city, for Christchurch and this country. So the court are very mindful of that, so there needs to be very good reasons.
How do you think the court grapples with the question of ensuring that justice is seen to be done in a transparent manner and not giving a platform to this man?
Well, the Court of Appeal will be very aware that he has to be given an opportunity to appeal, which he's been given. But the court will regulate its own hearing very carefully and be very aware of those factors you mentioned, I'm sure.
Aya Alomari and other families will follow the court proceedings via a special feed from Christchurch.
I don't want to be here, but circumstances made me be here.
She says the spirit of her late brother will help her get through.
I look up to him and his bravery. I will take that bravery as I'm listening in, and I'm sure he will be very proud of me. Yeah.
As New Zealand braces for another difficult day. This is Barbara Miller in Wellington reporting for AM.
Millions of young people could see a massive boost to their wages if the Fair Work Commission throws out a long-standing rule about award rates for those under 21. But business groups are concerned any change would increase costs and reduce the incentive to employ junior staff. Daniel Ziffer reports.
Across the nation, young people are hard at work, but getting paid at a discount. Ben Walker is 20 and works as a supervisor at a Woolworths supermarket in Sale in regional Victoria.
I have a car, I pay board at home, I've got a motorbike as well, so you know, insurance and fuel. I'm paying adult fuel with still a child's wage.
A looming decision by the industrial umpire could boost the incomes of potentially 500,000 young people by killing off a rate reduction that's applied to workers aged under 21. But it's extremely contentious. Business groups warn it could shatter the jobs market. Here's Innes Willicks, Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group.
Well, if there are substantial changes that make it incredibly difficult for employers to hire young people won't be hired for jobs, and that will be to the detriment of them and the workforce and the economy as a whole.
It's about what's called junior rates. A full bench of the Fair Work Commission heard evidence in October and November about the attempt to vary three awards, broad agreements that span working conditions in entire industries. In the fast food, retail and pharmacy industries covered by the case, 18-year-olds are paid 70% of the award rate. It's 80% for 19-year-olds. People who are 20 years old get paid 90% of an adult wage. The case has been brought by the Shop, Distributive and Allied Employees Association, or SDA, a union that covers retail workers. Jared Dwyer is its national secretary.
We as a community treat them as adults on every level, except when they walk in the door to work. They walk in there and they're expected to operate on discount wages.
The agreements cover 500,000 young people, but there are about 70 other awards that would likely be challenged and changed as well if it's successful.
They don't get discounts on their rent. They don't get discounts when they go to, you know, supermarket. They've got to pay, you know, the full amount.
Union peak body leader Sally McManus says the arguments made by business are on the wrong side of history.
I wasn't born at that time, but when women were paid less than men for doing exactly the same work, I know they argued exactly the same.
In a statement, Ben's employer Woolworths says it is committed to paying junior team members above award rates, but that any changes to junior pay rates must be introduced in a sustainable and responsible manner.
We are the workforce behind it that is helping this company grow and taking their profits, and the fact that we aren't rewarded properly with a proper wage is a big problem.
A decision in the case has been made and is expected to be revealed shortly.
Daniel Ziffer with that report, and that's AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Isabella Higgins.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley here, host of the ABC News Daily podcast. It took a while to get going, but demand for home batteries in Australia has taken off. More people installed them in 6 months than the previous 5 years. Today, Tony Wood from the Grattan Institute on what that means for everyone's power bills. Look for the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.